Hello, everyone. I want to thank you today for tuning in again to the Living Ladder Ministries radio broadcast. God is good, and like always, he's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God is good, super good, and I love him. And he loves you. He cares about you deeply. I said a few broadcasts ago that God's love requires nothing of you. He's going to love you no matter what you've done, no matter what you do. Even if you don't like him, he loves you. But he put things in place for you to live forever. And like I said the last broadcast, he died for everybody so that we could live. For every human on earth. For every generation. But it won't help us unless we believe. We can't benefit from it unless we believe on him. So I encourage you to do just that. You're believing on Jesus Christ, and he's still alive. He's not buried on earth. He's not a dead man. He's not like the others who died. He arose and went to heaven. He's alive now, making intercession for us, representing us to the Father. He's our high priest. Our high priest. He's not just our Savior. And then he sent the Holy Spirit back to guide us into all truth. And I love that fact that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. In other words, you got to be wanting it. And then he's going to guide you to it. So anything you want to learn, pray and ask the Lord and listen. And expect and notice the work of the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. Every believer, when you believe on Jesus Christ, hear me good, folks. Every believer has the Holy Spirit living in his spirit. Yeah, but I don't believe in speaking in tongues, somebody would say. The Holy Spirit still lives in the heart of everybody that believed on Jesus Christ. What about speaking in tongues? Speaking in tongues is true. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have this Holy Spirit on the inside, and we have the Holy Spirit upon us. The Holy Spirit is given to everybody who welcomes him. The Holy Spirit is he comes upon us. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit so that we can do the work of God. And a lot of men of God, they're not as effective as they can be if they don't welcome the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a scripture that said that John was the greatest prophet of all times. He was greater than all the other prophets because he introduced Jesus Christ. But then it said he was the least in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because John the Baptist, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside like we do. Why? Because at the new birth, our spirit man was regenerated. They had the Holy Spirit upon them, but we have him on the inside. And when he comes on the inside, he comes on the inside. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you'll speak in tongues and prophesy. Some will speak in tongues, some will speak in tongues and prophesy. And I thank God for it. So the book of Acts is true. If you want the Holy Spirit baptism, you have to believe. He sent the Holy Spirit for you. You just got to believe on him and receive him. And he won't make you speak in tongues. He'll give you utterance and you'll speak in tongues. And I pray in tongues often so that I can do God's work, so that I can learn. When I pray in the Holy Spirit, I learn more from the Lord than when I don't. Now, we don't serve a God that's not there. We don't serve the wind. You can't see our Father. And right now, you can't see your Savior, Jesus Christ, unless he appear to you, which he can do. But he's always there with you. by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is making intercession for you if you got saved, if you've gotten saved. And he's listening for the prayers of those that love you, even if you're not saved, so that he can do something on your behalf. If you got parents and grandparents that's praying for you, friends and loved ones, cousins, co-workers that's praying for you, then they're inviting God to do something on your behalf that you would like. If you don't agree with God, and you got people praying for you and telling you the word of God, hopefully you'll come to the point the Lord will bring you to a point where you can believe. And then, when you believe on Jesus Christ, you get rich. Well, I got saved, I ain't got no more money than I had before. Yeah, but what about the everlasting life? What about the potential of your future? The ability to never die? The things you will gain as you work forever? The things you'll do in heaven? The things you'll attain? What about the mansion that you're going to get? Don't tell me you don't have any money. You may not have any cash, any extra cash, but if you pray for it and willing to work for it, you'll get that. So in other words, the moment you believe on Jesus, you got more than you see. You got the right to pray. You have authority over Satan. You don't have to let him push you around anymore. Your sin nature's broken, and you won't be rushing out to sin like you used to. You won't even want it. A lot of things happen when you get saved, when you truly get saved. Because Jesus said it is finished, and we talked about that last week. He said in verse 34, "Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." But since he said that, people have died. But remember, folks, when he died on the cross, he said it is finished. And that sealed it. The generation didn't die before it was sealed. And it is sealed. And his return is certain. So let's continue. Verse 36. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So when Christ returned, nobody knows but the Father. He kept that to himself, not even Jesus Christ. The Lord kept that in his own power. Why? Because salvation is by faith, and it will be by faith, and his return will come and catch people off guard and catch people in faith. If he revealed the day and the hour, everybody with a little bit of sense would get saved on that day and miss the world. But that wouldn't be by faith. And it's got to be by faith. He's going to take us by surprise. If he told the year and date and hour, people say, "Well, I'm going to wait till I'm old before I get saved." You don't know if you're going to make it till you get old. In other words, when you believe on Jesus Christ, you're not just believing on the Lord. You're rejecting the world. It all goes back to the garden. God put two trees in the garden, the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you had to eat off one and reject the other. It's the same thing with heaven. You got to reject the world and choose heaven. You got to reject the philosophy and the words of Satan and the words of men and your own opinions and base all of your life, all of it, on the simple words of Jesus. How about that? You got to believe. When you believe on Jesus, you're rejecting all of your opinions, all the things people say, all the persuasions of the world, all the words of Satan. And you're putting all of your stock, all of it, on what Jesus did for you. And you probably don't, you can't see the guarantee. So that's what you're doing when you believe on Jesus Christ. And if you can do that, he already did the hard part. He died in your place. You're believing on him. When you do that, the Lord He recreates your spirit, like we talked about last week. And it's so certain that heaven and earth will pass away before his words fail. And he said it's finished as he died on the cross for us. And he legally made it legal for us to go to heaven, to be with him. Not only that, he arose to make intercession for us. And Jesus Christ, he became a man, but we have the authority here and not him. When he arose, he left his people in charge. So what happens on the earth is because Christians allow it. What do you mean, preacher? Christian, you mean to tell me Christians can do something about all the tragedies on earth? Yes, every one of them. Because we have the victory, we have the authority. Well, we can't make nobody do nothing. Right, we can't. But we can take away Satan's terror. You can speak to the problems in your life until it's just, that's in the Lord's Prayer. He said, pray that it be like on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's will. Well, why ain't it happening, preacher? Because people won't take it serious. They don't know the value of their prayers. They don't know the power of their prayers. Lack of knowledge exists in the church. You can stop tornadoes, earthquakes. You can, if you see trouble happening, you can say something. You can tell Satan he can't use that situation. I've seen gunfights brewing. I say, Satan, you can't kill anybody. And you can't hurt anybody with this fight. And I would literally see them shoot till they run out of bullets and nobody gets shot. Every time I did it, I never fail. But I'm not everywhere at once. And any Christian can do it. Well, how did you come to the point that you could do that? I studied the Word of God. I listened to tapes about authority by Reverend Kenneth Hagin. And I studied the scriptures that Jesus taught. And it works. I've had good success in my life. Well, did you ever fail? Yes, I have failed. But as long as I was in faith and spoke the Word of God in faith, without doubt, it always worked every time, 100%. It works. Okay, continuing. Verse 36, Matthew 24, verse 36. We're talking about end times. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, were they eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus Christ is going to catch people off guard. And I'm telling you this, hopefully in time, so that in the end times, you'll get to be with him. Hopefully you'll get saved in time if you're not saved, and then help other people to get saved in time, in the end times. In time. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. One should be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding their meal at the mill. And one shall be taken and the other left. One was saved, one wasn't. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. Be watching, expecting. Well, how, when he come? I don't know. The Father is clearly stated in verse 36, that only the Father knows. God knows when he's coming back. But and it's certain. It's a done deal. He's coming. And there's nothing that a man can do to stop it. He's coming back. That's why the word says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. And you want to be on his side when he comes. You don't want to be fooling around with Satan when he comes. You don't want to be laughing and joking and playing with the devil when he comes. Verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. He's coming like a thief. You ever sit up and wait on a thief to break in your car? You'll fall asleep and then he'll break in the car. You can't catch. It's hard to catch a thief. And it's hard to catch Jesus when he come back. You're just going to have to be on his side. You're going to have to be saved, which is spared from the wrath of God. And you're going to have to be looking for him and doing his, and hopefully doing his work. You're not saved by works. But the more people you bring into heaven with you, the better off it is for everybody. Thank God we can do his work. Okay, but know this. If the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And everybody in their right mind, if they could believe these things, they'll be watching. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to hit his servants, and eat and drink and be drunk, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you don't want to be caught off guard, doing wrong, hurting people, hindering people, when the Lord comes back to fight. When the Lord comes back to fight and take the earth back and take the land back and destroy, and the lease of Adam is gone, and he came to fulfill his portion, he's going to rule this earth, and he's going to do it with an iron rod. And people that are not right, he's going to get rid of them. And I want you to be on his side. I want you to be caught, found doing his work. I want you to benefit from what he's done for you by your faith. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not, and the Lord cannot lie. And he will always teach those. He will continue to teach those who love him. Now, till next time, remember, I love you, and God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is Lord.